Well, I asked Brother John David to lead that song for us because we're going to be talking about that one tonight. When the roll is called up yonder, this is a great song that's very encouraging that we have in our song books, and it talks about things that will happen in the future and the hope that we have as Christians in Christ's return. A wonderful song. The idea of the roll being called up yonder, maybe we know what a roll call is if we remember our days in school and the teacher used to call our names and we'd say whether we were here or not, calling the roll, right? And the idea of calling the roll, I would say, is a biblical idea. And looking at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, we see that there is kind of a roll call here. It says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." And so some books are going to be opened. The record's going to be laid out for everyone to see and hear. And the roll will certainly be called when that happens. And so this song, which was written by James M. Black in 1893, is the most popular song that he wrote. He wrote over 1,500 songs. Very prolific writer of songs. But again, this is a song about what happens when Jesus returns. And it is based on this text here, I believe, in Revelation 20, verse 12, the idea that there are books in heaven that are going to be opened on that day, and a roll is, you know, just another word for a book or a ledger or something like that. And so let's think about this song tonight and what it discusses. Well, first of all, when the roll is called up yonder, time as we know it will end. Look at the first stanza of this song. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Well, the author takes a very positive look at eternity, looking at it from the perspective of a faithful Christian and thinking about what will happen to the faithful Christian. But, you know, that's just one side of the story. The Bible talks about both what will happen to the faithful and the unfaithful when the roll is called up yonder. So we'll mention that as we go along. But we do want to note that he talks about the trumpet of the Lord. And the scriptures do talk about the sounding of a trumpet when Christ returns. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52 says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So the trumpet will sound, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. And he also mentioned it in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." So there's going to be a great loud trumpeting type sound when this happens, and it will catch everyone's attention. Now the author also talks about time being no more. And I believe that he takes that idea from Revelation 10 and verse 6, specifically in the King James Version. Because there in the King James Version it says that this angel who had one foot on the land and 1 foot on the sea says that he swore by him that lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. So time no longer. Now, most modern translations translate this a little differently. They say that there should be no more delay, or that there should be no longer any delay, or something like that. And so that's a little different idea, but back when there was only the King James Version, you know, back in the 1800s when this man wrote this song, he only had this version to look at. And so he said, time shall be no more. And I think he took it from this verse in the King James Version. Of course, there are other passages that talk about time relative to the second coming. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says that it will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In other words, it's going to be really quick. There's not going to be a long delay associated with the second coming, but it's going to happen quickly. And so time shall be no more, and we can say as we know it on the earth. And I think that would be an accurate way to understand the author's intention here, and also an accurate way for us to think about it as well. And then he says, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. And this is poetic language to describe, like, you know, a new day. There will be a new day, a day that's different from every day that has occurred before. And that's the idea here. I don't think he's talking literally, that there's going to be a literal sunrise or anything like that, but that it's going to be a new day, metaphorically speaking. And then he talks about when the saved shall gather over on the other shore. And the idea of the shore meaning the other side of existence. Not physical existence, but rather spiritual existence. That is often discussed in the scriptures is being the idea, you know, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, they went from one shore to the other shore. And that is a metaphor of crossing over from this life into eternity. And so that's what the stanza means. Well, what about the significance of it? Well, when time will be no more, the earth and everything in it is going to cease. 2 Peter 3 verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. So everything that we have, everything that we possess, everything that we own, this edifice, all of the land around us, anything that's in the earth is going to be burned up, and it will cease to exist, and all that will be left are the souls and resurrected bodies of human beings. And so everything's going to pass away. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up, 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 says. And so we ought not to put our livelihood or our trust or our hope in this life, in the physical things of this life, because they're going to be taken away from us one day. Revelation 20 and verse 11 also says, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face, listen to this, the earth and the heaven fled away. And the showing up of Christ on that day and the showing up of God on that day is going to make everything else flee away. And that's what the text says there. And it then says, and there was found no place for them. No place for them. That's Revelation 20 and verse 11. And then everyone is going to be gathered to Jesus to be judged. Matthew 25, 31 and 33 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Matthew 25, 31 through 33. Revelation 20, verse 10 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." So everyone will be gathered together to be judged. So when the roll is called up yonder, time is going to end. The earth is going to cease. All the people will be gathered together to be judged. And everyone will be raised from the dead in order for this to happen. And that's stanza number 2. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, notice the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Couple of things here. First of all, the author talks about the bright and cloudless morning. And we can take that in a figurative way, meaning that it's going to be a wonderful day. But in a literal way, the Bible talks about there being clouds when Christ returns. And so we should think about that also. So we will be generous with the poetic language here and think about it being a beautiful day when that happens. But in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7, we read, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." And so the clouds, there's going to be clouds, literal clouds, when Christ returns. I don't know if that means white fluffy clouds or dark black clouds. I don't know. But it talks about there being clouds. In Revelation 1 verse 7, we read, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." So he is coming with clouds. There will be clouds. It won't literally be a bright and cloudless morning, but in a figurative way, we can understand it to be a bright and cloudless morning in the sense that it's a beautiful day. And so I think we can be generous and interpret that in that way with this song. And then everyone will be raised from the dead. And of course, the glory of his resurrection share. We will all share in the resurrection on that day. Now, Jesus says that everyone will be raised from the dead, both the righteous and the unrighteous. John chapter 5, specifically, in verse 28, 29, he says, "Do not marvel at this. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will come forth," or will hear his voice and come forth. "Those that have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." So there's going to be a resurrection of life and a resurrection of condemnation. Paul echoes this thought in Acts chapter 24 and verse 15 when he says to those who were judging him there, the Sanhedrin Council, he says, "I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." So everyone is going to be raised from the dead, both the just and the unjust. Now the righteous will share in eternal life, but the wicked will enter eternal condemnation. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, Jesus said of the righteous, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so they will go into eternal life. In Revelation 21, in verses 7 and 8, we read, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And so those who overcome will inherit all things. But then verse 8, he says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so there's the death of the unrighteous. And so this song talks to us about the resurrection. And the resurrection will be something that we experience. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Now let's look at stanza number 3. Let us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And so the author of the song brings things back to the present, right? He says, in light of the fact that the Lord's going to come back, the earth's going to end, that we're going to be called to be judged before the throne, the books are going to be open. In light of the fact that we're going to share in the resurrection of Christ, in light of these wonderful things, what are we doing today? That's what he says in the third stanza. Let us labor for the master. In other words, we have a work to do. Today is the day of salvation. We should not sit back on our haunches and just say, oh yeah, it's going to be great in the future, and I'm just going to wait for that to happen. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying because we are saved, we need to get to work. We need to do the Lord's will within our lives. We need to labor for the master. When? From the dawn till setting sun. You know, all day long is what he's saying. We are Christians all day, every day. And that's how we need to comport ourselves in this life. What do we need to be talking about? All of his wondrous love and care. We need to be sharing the gospel with other people. And then when our work, or when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And so he brings it back to the present. He brings it back to the things that we need to focus on right now. And in a way, this is an invitation, right? He's saying, look, we have all these wonderful things to look forward to. And so because of that, let's get busy. Let's do the Lord's work. Let's talk to others about the gospel. So think about the work that Jesus discussed while he was here on the earth. He said in John 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. So there is a limited amount of time that we have to work on this earth. And we need to be, as Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, redeeming the time. Buying back that time. Using that time for what the Lord put us here to do. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Taking the most of every opportunity that we have to do what is right. That's where our focus as Christians needs to be. If we will do that, if we will work on that and occupy ourselves with carrying out the will of God within our lives each and every day, then when the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there, and God will take care of us. And so what does this mean? It means that today is the day of salvation, that right now is the time that we need to think about doing the right things. In 2 Corinthians 6, in verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says this, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." That is, as workers together with him, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Keep doing the work. If we stop working, if we stop being faithful, then that will the reception of the word of God with our lives will have been in vain. That's what he's saying there in that verse. And then he says this, and he's quoting from the Old Testament, but he says, "For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you." Now look at how the Apostle Paul interprets this Old Testament verse to apply to the current situation. He says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Or the King James Version says, "Today is the day of salvation." In other words, we've got right now to do the Lord's will. And that's what we need to be focusing on. Doing what the Lord wants us to do in this present moment. Working for Him, carrying out His holy will, looking for those opportunities to redeem the time. Because today is all we really have. And so what can we do right now? That's the question we need to be asking ourselves at every moment. What can I do for the Lord right now? And there's always something that we can do. Now, that could be taking care of your family. It could be assembling together to worship in the church. It could be talking to someone about the gospel. There are many things that the Bible discusses as being right and good things to do. And all of those things fall underneath this. And so that's what we need to be thinking about as we think about today being the day of salvation. And then when our work on earth is over, think about that. When all of life is over and our work on earth is done. Now, the Bible talks about this life being a life of work, but that there remains a rest that is coming. This is Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 9 through 11. It says, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." So there is a future rest for us if we will work today. Now is not the time to rest in the sense that he's talking about here. That is, in the sense of just quitting altogether. Now's not the time to rest. Now's not the time to quit. Now's not the time to stop working for the Lord. We must keep on keeping on. But one day, there is going to be an eternal rest that we are going to enter into. And then our labor will be over. Just as God ceased from working on the seventh day, then we will cease from working and enter the eternal Sabbath day of rest. And so we read about this in Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21, 3 and 4. And so one day, all of the things that we labor and toil under here on this earth that are listed here in this verse, right? All of these things, tears, toil, death, sorrow, crying, pain, we labor in the here and now with those difficulties. But those things will one day pass away and we will have our eternal rest. And when the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there. Well, this song is talking to the faithful. It's talking to Christians who are living according to God's will, who are working according to God's will. And it's telling us not to give up, but to keep on living right and doing the right things one after another each and every day. So when the roll is called up yonder, time as we know it will end. When the roll is called up yonder, everyone will be raised from the dead and assembled before the great judgment throne of God. And because of those facts, we understand that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we need to work and labor for Him. And God willing, we will do these things. How about you in your life today? Where are you at in your walk with God? Are you a faithful Christian and so anticipating that wonderful day when the roll is called up yonder and when Jesus will put His sheep on His right hand? I sure hope you are. But maybe you're not a Christian and you realize after thinking about this lesson that you don't want to be on the left hand of Christ when the roll is called up yonder, and you want to do something about that. Well, we can help you tonight through hearing the word and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Your name will then be written in the book of life. And when those books are opened and the roll is called up yonder, you'll be there with all the saved who have gone before. And so if that's your need tonight, we invite you to come and make it known while together we stand and while we sing.